Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. Football is on Sundays, and it is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. This is episode 1,696 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George, 365, and Corey Robbins. Today is kind of an eventful day. It is the 49ers' last open training camp practice. Get the day off, kind of a light day tomorrow. Then they have the joint practice, and then you got the preseason game Thursday. So you are in full swing, and this is kind of the demarcation line for the 49ers wrapping up training camp. We've learned so stinking much. In today's episode, we're going to be breaking down updated injury reports. There's some new additions. There's some more positive news. There are some negatives. We're going to be going through basically the very last practice report that we're going to have, that the beat writers are going to have for this entire season. After this, the beat writers are basically kicked out of practice right after individual special teams, which means you get to watch players warm up. You get to watch them do their alignment period. Then you get to watch them do some special teams work. And that's it. Then they have to leave, and they're not allowed to write things down or report on any of that. So the kind of peek behind the curtain ends today. So we have to go from the tape that we collect through the preseason. And man, this is a fun time because we have basically 10 days before roster cutting process starts, going from 91 to 53. They used to kind of stagger that out into three cuts, and it was one cut, then it was two cuts, and then three cuts again. Now it's back down to one. And shout out to all the subscribers on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. We will be having our annual roster prediction Zoom hangout, which is it's hard. We get the brain trust together, and you could be a part of this if you'd like to. We do a Zoom hangout, usually takes about an hour and a half. And we get together and we go through and we build our roster how we want it to be and kind of predict and all that stuff. And I force you guys to make the tough decisions, how many wide receivers, all that kind of stuff. That is going to be taking place after the third preseason game. So we're about 10 days. We don't have the exact day out for that. But if you want to join in on that, plus watch all of the coaches tape, all 22, end zone, you name it, you need to go sign up. The 49ersrush.com is the best time of the year to sign up. You get all of our weekly bets, season-long bets, coaches tape for every single snap, offense, defense, special teams, and our Zoom hangouts that we do once a month. Go sign up, the49ersrush.com, or our Patreon page at patreon.com/49ersrushpodcast. Want to say thank you to the Countdown crew. Look at all the hashtag CCs coming in. Monkey was in here first. What's up, Throwback? Appreciate you. Hit the like button and subscribe, faithful. Great to see you, Throwback. It's been a minute, but glad that you are here. You are the legend. Monkey, just finished the fourth quarter breakdown. I know it's backups and fringe players, but so stoked that football is back. You wild, mad men that watch fourth quarter preseason game one breakdowns. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you to all those people out there. I love it. Look at this. Justin, first ever hashtag CC for a live show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Give us some good news. All right. Well, I can't leave you hanging on that one. Nicholas John Bosa. He was out there not practicing fully, but his first time back, had the knee swell and all that stuff. He was doing all of his kind of normal Nick Bosa off to the side warmups. You're seeing him doing high knees, planting, lunges, all these different, you know, calisthenics and whatever that he kind of does on his own anyway. Great sign. Great sign. You are just shy of about a month before week one. I'm telling you right now, I think I said this earlier in the week that I was at about an 85% confidence Nick Bosa is going to be fine. I'm bumping it up to 95. Now, hopefully his knee responds correctly, but this was something that they anticipated. And so Nick Bosa getting the knee issue out of the way with the swelling coming back from the ACL in August instead of September, That is huge. That is some of the best news out there. Shout out to the film clips that were put up from Raj, the legend from RSF Niners. He is the best of the best. So that is the huge big news. So yeah, welcome, Justin. Appreciate you guys. Look at Flynn. I'm calling it now. Stripling offensive rookie of the year. If you believe in that, go bet it. The odds are huge. But yeah, if you believe that, mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS for a free bet back. You can bet from $50 to $500. Click that opt-in bet back bonus. You throw $500 down on Deshaun Stribling rookie of the year, and if he doesn't hit it, you get all $500 back. That's up right now with a one-time rollover. We'll talk about our bets of the year a little bit later. What's up, Captain? Appreciate you guys. It's a great Sunday. Love it. Look at this. Joel, he's out at the gym all the way out in the Philippines. Appreciate you, man. You guys are awesome. What's up, Yatsik? We got Kenneth in the house. Joe's in the house. I love it. You guys are awesome. Right here. Reese, John, you got all your boxes empty? Not even close. We currently have in-laws in town, which is awesome right now. But it was a perfect break from building furniture and unpacking and trying to figure out what we got to get rid of and whatnot. So yeah, we still got boxes. That ain't going to change. I wish it would change, but no, we're not there yet. We are a disaster here in the Chapman household. John, right here. Is the off-center background here to stay? We're moving things around. This room, I used to have my own office. Now it's office slash guest room. So we got people staying in here. I'm going to change some of the, you know, setup and all that stuff. I've got new camera. I've got some new gear, some new lighting, all kinds of stuff I want to implement. I just haven't had time to do it. So, yeah, stay tuned on the setup for all those things. And, yeah, still not unpacked because I keep doing all these shows, man. I got to do all these different things. Look at this, Kenneth. What's up, man? They're moving from Riverdale, Georgia to Winder tomorrow. There we go. I need this show to help me get through the last round of packing up. It's stressful, man. Deep breaths, take breaks, all that stuff. Oh, man. Good luck to you. Yatsik, do the Zoom hangout. Jerry Rice tier is worth it. Do it. Thank you, Yatsik. And, man, really, really excited about all the things we've got coming up. Look at this, Kimbro, coming in huge. The generosity oozes from the man, Kimbro. Thank you so much for the super chat. We really appreciate it. So happy we get alive today. Love the community. Means more to me than I can express. Almost didn't have a show today, but we rallied, and we're getting it put out there, and, you know, there's a lot of good stuff. Let's get to some more of the injury updates. That's probably the most pertinent information to put out there. You know, George Kittle talked at the presser today. And anytime George Kittle talks, it's kind of noteworthy just because he's crazy, man, in the best of ways. And the optimism is through the roof. Why do you let George Kittle talk now? Coming back from that Achilles injury that happened in January. And, you know, the kind of main quote or headline that is out there floating the social media landscape is Kittle very confident he will not start on the PUP list for Matt Maiocco, might fly to Australia. He says, quote, "I have a chance. These next couple of weeks are everything," end quote. We'll see there. Now, Kittle was asked about the GPS times and all that stuff. He said, quote, "I'm hitting the numbers I'm supposed to hit," end quote. Now, I've seen other quotes out there saying, oh, he's hitting his top speeds and whatever else before the injury. I didn't hear him say that. That might have been an interview after the fact. There are some amazing 49ers beat reporters. I'm only quoting what I heard and saw. I'm hitting the numbers I'm supposed to hit. Does that mean he's hitting his numbers to get to ready? Is he hitting pre-numbers? So I'm seeing some different quotes out there. I'm just going with what I heard out of the mouth of George Kittle himself. And I thought it was also interesting the weight. This offseason, if you followed the George Kittle public appearances, he looks light. He looks really light. Looks small. He addressed that. Awesome question from the Krugster. He said, you know, what plane weight are you at? Are you trying to get lighter? What's that look like? George Kittle said, I'm 245 right now. All right, well, what does that mean? Well, Kittle went into his rookie year, he weighed 260. His sophomore year, he weighed 250. Since then, he's played at 240. He's at 245 right now. I think that's really, really good sign. And probably the biggest thing that I took away from the entire George Kittle thing, I still don't think that he will be traveling to Australia. The fact that he's not back practicing and in pads and all that stuff, you're about 3.5 weeks out. and you've got that huge 10, 11 day swing after week one and back home. Do you want George Kittle on an airplane for 35 hours? I'm just not buying into that. I think Kittle stays home. I don't think he plays week one, but the biggest shift that I have at number 85 is just that, hey, if he doesn't go on PUP, that means he's not missing the first 4 weeks. You mean to tell me George Kittle has a chance to play week three, week four, week two? I'm taking that all day. Achilles usually 9 months. He's 32 years old. Now, the updates that keep coming out is that George Kittle, high Achilles and the doctors and all the stuff, I've seen him work out. I've seen him practice in person. I've seen the cameras. He's pretty gingerly walking around, but at the end of his workouts, looks George Kittle-esque. The first part of his workouts and routine, pretty stiff, pretty rigid, but the looser and looser it gets, man. And shoot, credit to Raj. You know, I'm out there at practice and I'm recording George Kittle working out, and then I'm like paying attention to other stuff because, you know, I got ADHD or whatever you want to call it, and I'm just like looking all over the place. Raj should just stay on Kittle watch. That dude, incredible. So George Kittle, that's the thing to kind of take away. Getting closer, no major setbacks. And that is great news. Do I think he'll play week one? I do not.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Do I think George Kittle's going to be on the PUP? I'm leaning no for the first time this entire offseason. I really, really am. That is a positive. Hopefully no setbacks, knock on wood, whatever you want to do there. I think that's huge. So look at this, man. People, yeah, congrats on the first live show ever. Reese, love this community and show. That is huge. You know, the pillars of the 49ers Rush podcast, everything was supposed to be like education and make the fan experience better. I didn't understand through probably year three when we started hosting events just by happenstance that there was such a strong communal aspect to what we do here. And so Reese, just seeing stuff like this means the world to me. And so, yeah, the thing is the connections and the relationships that get built through this crazy show that is the 49ers Rush podcast. So thankful. And I mean, you know, I'm looking in this chat and I'm just seeing amazing friendships that have been built just from, you know, I'm on the benefiting side. My man Yatsik, my man Shane, my man Joel, like, I know these people. And I hope to get to know you too. And I hope you get to come out to some of our road trips. And if not, that's okay. If you see me at a 49ers game, I don't give a damn what I am doing. If I am interviewing Joe Montana, come up and say hi. You are more important than Joe Montana is to me. And I'm not saying that just the, like, whatever. Joe Montana will pay my bills. He doesn't keep, you know, my family fed. You guys do. It is my opportunity to say thank you. Guys like Ben, man. Are you kidding me? Ugh. I love it. I love it. I love it. Big Fish. I don't think Bosa will play a full season. How many times has Nick Bosa even played a full season? And I think in the new NFL, I don't think you project anybody to play all 17 games. It just doesn't make sense. Nick Bosa has played every game in a season twice, 2021 and 2023. What's interesting, 2022, he did not play every single game, and he won Defensive Player of the Year. You can go back to Deion Sanders' 1994 campaign. He missed three games, still Defensive Player of the Year. The impact that Nick Bosa has, and I will stand by this, when Nick Bosa plays, the 49ers are an elite team, not defense, team. He is one of the best in the business. He's definitely, no matter any way you splice, he's a top 10 defensive end at worst. He is the best two-way defensive end. What I mean, best first run game, best first pass game. I think he's better against the run game than the pass game. And this is somebody with 64 and a half sacks. He's going to be an all-time 49ers leader in sacks. He's going to pass Bryant Young. That is happening. I'd bet the farm on that. And again, you look at, dude, Nick Bosa hasn't even turned 29 yet. But if you told me you get 14 games out of Bosa, dude, I'm in. Yeah, anything more than that, with almost any player, injuries are a major, 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 major issue. Not just for the 49ers. And I know, like, we bring up how injury-riddled the 49ers are all the damn time. But, man, like, you look at how many players. Okay, so I just pulled up last season, the 2026 49ers. This is how many players played all 17 games. This is just the regular season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 players. That's it. Here are their names. Kalia Davis, he gone. Juice, Demo, CMC, Colton McKivitz, Dominic Pooney, D-Winners. D-Winners gone. And we talk about guys like, okay, Dominic Pooney, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, three guys that didn't miss one game last year. Guess what? Those three guys have in common. They're injured right now. The NFL, especially the 49ers, has a 100% injury rate. It's not a matter of if, it's when. It is when. So, like, again, you're talking about 7 players out of 53 that played every game last year. That's it. That's it. Even our kickers get hurt, man. Like, football is, and I'm not saying you're not saying this, Big Fish, by the way. Love the AVI. Solid. I don't think anybody projects for everybody to play every game or anybody to play every game. That's why you have backups. That's why there's 53 men on the roster despite only 22 players starting, right? So whenever you look at that, it's just like, man, you've got to understand guys are going to miss time. Guys are going to miss time. And that's okay. That's okay. Appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. Crazy Juice. It's good to see the rookies and backup in the preseason, but I care more about the regular season, as we all do. But you got to go with what you're given. And the fact that we can get all these reps, a lot of these guys that are playing in the preseason, you don't get to see them again until next year. You know, if injuries do happen, then sure, you'll see the twos and threes out there. But, like, that's our job, right? Like, to prepare you for the future. And so whenever you're seeing guys like Bryson Eason and you're seeing guys like Jacob Robinson and you're seeing these guys on the back end of the roster, it's just like, just wait. We used to do the same thing for Tatum Bethune, right? Until last year. And then guess what? All right, now you got to worry about him. Did the same thing for Colton McKivitz whenever he was a backup and cut. Well, now he's a perennial. Started all 17 games. I think he started 51 games in a row, by the way. You Colton McKivitz haters out there, which that group is getting smaller and smaller by the day. 51 straight starts for Colton McKivitz. Are you kidding me? That is as close to an NFL Ironman in today's modern age as you guys could get, man. I freaking love it. Appreciate you guys. What's up, Nick? You are the freaking man. You are awesome. Oh, look at this. Brian coming in. Haven't been able to catch a live in a while, but happy to be here. Thank you. Yeah, it's about time I upgrade. I am so stuck in my ways. Now, here are some negatives. Nick, go Grayson Halton. Let's get to the negatives of the injuries. Which there is one more positive. Dre Greenlaw back in pads. That is a huge positive. Grayson Halton did not practice today. He's got an ankle. DeMarcus Robinson, undisclosed injury. Not sure what's going on there. Dominic Pooney, again, another one of those guys. 17 games played last year. He's out with a concussion. Had a couple shakeups today. CJ West and Titus Leo shaken up, did not return to practice. You did have two wide receivers, Debo and Jacob Cowan, shaken up, but both returned to practice today. So not overly concerned with Debo, Jacob Cowan, but CJ West, Titus Leo. Obviously, CJ West is going to play a larger role, but Grayson Halton, rookie phenom after his first, I don't know if you want to go that far, but a badass game, you know, his first time out there, shaken up with an ankle, which was it from yesterday? I don't believe. I don't know. They didn't really dive too much in there. So we'll see there. Yeah, Shane, don't let George get on the plane. Don't let him get on the plane. Yeah, there we go. that's what it is. I like that. Right here, Crazy Juice, if Kittle isn't 100%, then he shouldn't play. Agreed, agreed, agreed. You need George Kittle for December, January, February? Ron Burgundy? Don't need him for September. Don't need him for September. Look at Yacek, man. My freaking PR stud right here. Ladies and gentlemen, the video breakdowns are priceless. Learn so much from them. Please support JC's effort and reward his knowledge. I have to cut Yacek a check as my promotional guy. I appreciate it, brother. You are a freaking legend in your own right. You are the man. And dude freaking educates and helps kids every day. Appreciate you spending some time with us, man. You are freaking awesome. Right here, Captain, loved it when Chap sat down Phil at my table a few years ago in Seattle. Was good to get to know him. Dude, Phil is the freaking man. He looks like Sourdough Sam, not going to lie. He even says that. He even has the hat for it, the old handlebar mustache, all that stuff. Freaking legend. There's so many great people in here. Oh, Tara, what's up, man? Y'all like and subscribe to this, dude. Tell your friends and Niner fans about how we posse up. We that team. Dude, go check out Terror Dome's YouTube channel. It is freaking awesome. Such an amazing, positive, gracious human being. Awesome, dude. Cannot support this dude enough. You are the freaking man. You are the man. Sean, thank you so much for the super chat. Love to catch you live, John. If you had to guess the most receiving yards this season at this point, who are you guessing? Mike Evans. Ooh. I could totally see this year being like 4 to 5 players getting 700 yards. Like, I could see that. Where you got Mike Evans, got Christian McCaffrey, Debo's going to be involved in that, right? You know, George Kittle. Like, I could see not to where you got a number 1,000, 1,200 yard guy, because I do think Mike Evans is going to miss some time. I do think Christian McCaffrey is going to miss some time. I do think Kittle, you know, I think there's going to be some, you're getting longer aged veterans at these skill position play. Like, I think, yeah, there's going to be injuries there, but I would bet Mike Evans, he definitely has the highest projection there. But yeah, there's a lot of candidates. Would anybody at this point be shocked if Deshaun Stribling leads the 49ers in receiving yards? I know when they drafted him, we're like, well, he'll learn behind Mike Evans and, you know, rotate in. But shoot, Christian Kirk goes down very first practice, Deshaun Stribling. And you look at Kubiak's press conference, which I really, really liked. They asked him about Stribling at today's presser after practice. He said, quote, Stribling has a lot to learn from that game. Things he needs to keep working on, alignment. I love that. And I used to tell my players this, like, man, tape's never as good or as bad as you think. I definitely didn't come up with that. There is ways I could, and I would tell him, like, look, dude, if I am harping on you and correcting you, it's because I think you can get better. When I quit challenging you and addressing you, I think you're topped out, and I don't think what I say matters to you anymore. And for certain people, they didn't really care. I'm not going to be there. My best players, my captains, you get it the hardest. And I would tell my captains this. I'm going to go after you pretty damn hard today in the film room. So you need to have some tough-ass skin because it's not going to be nice. And the reason why I'm doing it is so everybody else knows, just because you were the MVP and scored 3 touchdowns, I don't care. You can improve. You ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. This is high school football. You got a ways to go. And if I'm Kubiak, I'm doing the same thing. Gets asked about Stribling, who freaking was awesome. I still got a lot to learn from that game. He's got to work on a lot of stuff, including alignment. Details, they matter. Stribling's awesome, but I love the fact that you go out there and you're just like, yeah, you ain't there yet, big dog. There's a lot more left. There's a lot more meat on that bone.
If you want to be in that situation and you want to get to where you want to go and you want to lead this team in receiving, you got to line up right. You're making your job harder by not condensing the splits down enough, because that gives you a two-way release on the outside and inside. You're making it harder on the corner. You line up too wide. You're not doing that. Like, there's different situations, and the alignment and consistency matters, especially for the quarterbacks. That is where it's huge. The timing matters. The pressure it puts on the linebackers and safety matters. Do they have to pay attention to you a little bit more? Or can they look at the uncovered guard more for their run pass key? All of the minutia, and I've said this so many times, the 49ers Kyle Shanahan system is the most difficult for wide receivers. This is why so many wide receivers go in the doghouse for Kyle Shanahan. It's the easiest for offensive linemen. It is the most adaptable for quarterbacks. That's why everybody wants to hire the Shanahan tree guys, because quarterbacks flourish in the system better. Wide receivers hard. Hard as hell. Hard as hell. So do with that what you may. Now, if you want to be a part of our community, you want to come party with us. Man, any 49ers road game, plus we are throwing a home game exclusive. Week 2, Miami Dolphins, we're throwing a tailgate. Those tickets are up now. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Oh, look at this. Kid Bro saying it'll be there week 2, the home game. If it goes well, we'll add more. But right now we're just, you know, pinned in for one home game tailgate. If it goes really, really well, we'll add more. So we're just going to try it, see how it goes. We're always looking to expand, because that's the thing. You know, we were doing those home tailgates for so long and it was awesome. And then we stopped and I get all these emails. Are you doing this game? I'm coming to town this game. Like, we're looking for somewhere. And I try to point people in the right direction so they can be a part of a community somewhere. But yeah, I'm hoping y'all come on out. Look at Sir Kaiser. I'll be at the Dallas game. That Dallas game going to be crazy, crazy. All right, let's dive into the practice report. Let's hear what happened today in pads. We are going from a number of amazing reporters from the 49ers, including new addition. Look at this. Enrique Zarate. He is part of the Spanish speaking community and started a Spanish 49ers podcast. I freaking love that. I've never met this man. I don't care. I just love what he's doing. Nick Wagner. We got Barrows. We got Raj from RSF. We got so many guys, so many sources. I went out there. I was family timing it. But anyway, let's dive in right off the bat. Shout out to Nick Wagner, who has been one of the guys that, you know, probably writes the most extensive practice reports on social media for sure for ESPN. He's kind of detailed Enrique Cruz's struggles. And man, I walked away from the preseason tape game one just thinking, like, golly, guys, like, I don't know if this guy's going to be an NFL player in the next couple of years. It was pretty bad tape consistently. Bad in the run, bad in the pass, happy feet, bad balance, bad technique. Dude's getting owned in one-on-ones day in, day out. Well, Nick Wagner said he had his best day yet. Maybe it was playing against somebody else and seeing the tape and just being like, yeah, that sucks. I don't know. But love to see just that he's elevating in any type of positive way mentioned with, you know, Enrique Cruz. Like, you got to take that, because this dude's a fifth-round pick, just has not done well so far. It's early. Thankfully, NFL careers are not written off or summarized after 1 month of practice and one preseason game, thank God. But you use the information you have and you move forward. Also, Alfred Collins, another guy that is just getting raked through the mud –
He got his very first reps in 1v1s today. He hasn't even done that. Yeah, he practiced trying to get back in shape. Tape was not good. I don't think it was near as bad as everybody said it was, but he did have three reps that were just, oh, really, really, really bad. But at the same time, and I've said this, like, people are praising Sebastian Valdez and Major Stock Up. The worst rep that anybody had, offense, defense, special teams, was probably Sebastian Valdez, where he got driven 14 yards off the ball. Like, that didn't happen to Alfred Collins. And so, like, it's kind of weird. The plays that get picked up and cycled through social media, people say, ah, oh, terrible, best. And that's kind of the new day and age, right, where somebody is either the greatest ever, the GOAT, or they're trash, and there's no way in between. I disagree with that. Alfred Collins getting his very first 1v1 reps since coming back from his shoulder injury. And we saw Alfred Collins struggle coming back from injury from his draft last year. It takes him a while to ramp up. Makes sense with the biggest dude on the team. I understand that. Was the tape good? No, it was not. Does that mean we quit? Does that mean that he should be guaranteed a starter spot? No, it does not. It's just that he ain't there now. He's not where he should be now. But anyway, now Carver Willis struggled in 1v1s. This is from Nick Wagner again for Sebastian Valdez. Carver Willis, awesome. Run game, awesome. Pass pro got better throughout the game. Still really bad. Still really bad. Really bad. Quarterback talk. Brock Purdy went 12 of 17 today from Wagner. And Barrows cited, man, deep ball completions to Debo, Mike Evans, Malik Turner, and Jacob Cowing. A lot of deep plays. And I saw from several different people, Jacob Cowing, who is back at practice, looking notorious. Jacob Cowing looking like he might actually make this team. I am struggling defending what I saw with my own two eyes about Jacob Cowing. I still think he is making this team. I do think that he had a pretty good day today. Enrique Zarate said Cowing beat Stout twice in team drill. Anybody that can get any win off of Stout, congratulations, bro. Because that dude, I'm telling you right now, he's the closest thing you're going to get to All-Pro in that defensive secondary. And I would put him over D'Amador Lenore. It's just going to take him a little bit more time to get to know. But Demo's the number one guy. I'm not saying that. And Demo, from all intents and purposes, had another great camp, another great practice today. Demo's been great. But the ceiling play on Upton Stout, I'm telling you right now, through the roof. But Cowing beat him not once, but twice. Brock Purdy hit Stribling on a deep crosser for a touchdown. And Raj from RSF, Stribling having another excellent day. That is huge. Stout got a pass breakup against Stribling from Brock in red zone drills in the back of the end zone. It seemed like a big play. Mac Jones, little bit of a slow ramp up to training camp, but he has finished with several stacking great days, several days in a row after a slow start. Went 16 of 19, says Matt Barrows. Really strong red zone day as touchdowns to Pauling, Grimes, and Malik Turner. Kind of a testament to, you know, Brock Purdy. He's throwing to Mike Evans, Stribling, all these guys. Mac Jones, he's throwing touchdowns to Pauling, Grimes, Malik Turner. Little bit different. Little bit different. But the quarterbacks seem to be doing pretty good. Montera, what's up, man? Had so much fun, and John's team was so great at the Indy game. So sad it's not working this year. Waves to the crew. Yeah, we're not going to be back in Indy, but that was a fun time. It was freezing cold, though. But that stadium was awesome, man. I really, really enjoyed that. That was a good time. Thank you so much. It was awesome hanging out. Hopefully you enjoyed everything. A couple other practice notes. Marquis Siegel had a pass breakup versus Cowing deep. Like to see that. Making plays. Cowing's always where he needs to be. He's always Johnny on the spot. It's just, can he make the plays? Getting a pass breakup versus Cowing deep? You want Cowing to be the deep guy. That's where you want him to be. That 4-3 speed on the backside. Did he learn from getting benched? Did he learn from losing his job? First preseason game was fine. Like, didn't make a lot of plays. Didn't get beat. I thought overall, like, the confidence level in Siegel as that starting safety increased. Still biggest concern in the room, in the, like, the entire roster. Left guard, safety, tight end if Kittle's out. That's the Bermuda Triangle for the 49ers. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Mike Evans beat Renardo Green several times. And this was interesting. Nick Wagner talked about Renardo Green drew a holding call against Evans twice. And then Renardo Green against Evans gets a pass breakup, clean play, turned around and stared down the official as if to say, this is Nick Wagner's words, where's the flag this time? Dude, I love salty Renardo Green. I love salty defensive backs. I really, really do. Like who are you going to be salty to, though? That I think that matters. Salty to refs? Yeah. Salty to the public? Yeah. Salty to the other team? Yeah. Salty against your own former coaches? No. Number 27, I'm looking at you. There's a place to put the saltiness. Your own coaching staff ain't it. I like Renardo Green. I like it. I love Demo talking trash to all these, wide receivers. I think that's a great thing. Jack Jones getting some chances at punt return. Love hearing that. I'll talk about, Jordan Watkins is an awesome wide receiver when you're throwing him the ball and targeting him. Outside of that, not a Jordan Watkins guy. He was horrible at punt return. He was even worse at kickoff return. Didn't make one positive block the entire time he played. And, man, how many snaps did he play? Where's he at? Jordan Watkins played 58 snaps. He had 19 run block snaps, had a 42 grade, one of the lowest of the team. So, if you're going to throw the ball to Jordan Watkins, I like him. If you're not going to target him, that's the issue. Right here, Ben, Connor Colby was much better in the game than some of the takes. I still have him starting at left guard in Australia. He took the first team reps today at left guard. Robert Jones took the first team reps at right guard today with Dominique Pooney coming off a concussion. Yeah, Connor Colby had two major bad snaps where he missed a stunt and a blitz. Outside of that, pretty consistent. Now, the problem is these are the exact same mistakes Connor Colby made whenever he started the first seven games of the season last year. You want to see him overcome that. You want to see him progress through that. Those inconsistencies, you got to think, that is a free blitzer that's going to destroy Brock Purdy. Now, you look at Robert Jones, golly, he was terrible. I would completely remove Robert Jones from the left guard. It would just be Connor Colby versus Carver Willis. If you want to throw in Austin Pleasance, cool. Brett Toth, whenever he comes back, cool. Robert Jones showed me you are a backup at best. How much of that's the rust after retiring and taking a year off? But I saw what I needed to see to move on from Robert Jones. I'm good. Stefan, what's Mustafa's timeline? Hamstrings are usually 4 to 8 weeks. I think he's about 3 weeks into that. You will start to get reports of Malik Mustafa warming up on the sideline and working with trainers on the side. You will still get those reports from beat reporters. And so once you get that, probably a week to 10 days after that, he'll be practicing. So we're still 10 days out. You're still a week out till Malik gets out there. I cannot see. I just can't see how that dude is going to walk back into a starting gig after missing all of training camp, all of it. He practiced first couple days and was with the twos mostly. And I'm not writing off Malik Mustafa for this season or for the rest of his career. Was not a Jerry Gray guy, was not a Raheem Morris guy. And, man, the inconsistencies last year on tape were really bad, really, really bad. The upside's there, but, and I'll go back to this. I wrote this down. Oh, dang it. I got this in my notes somewhere. Oh, right here. Kubiak today. This is my quote of the day. Was asked about the left guard spot. A lot of word salad. These three guys, you're hoping competition, blah, 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 blah. He said, we are looking for consistency. And I know I get a bad, you guys go after me a lot. That's my thing. As a former coach, which is the approach in which I take all of this and how I watch and evaluate tape, it's consistency. I don't want two positive, two negative plays. No. I'd rather have four consistent plays. Not necessarily they all got to be home runs. Well, obviously everybody would take that, John. Duh. But you're looking for consistency. Malik Mustafa is not consistent. Right now, Connor Colby's not consistent.
Carver Willis might be the least consistent. The upside's so damn good, though, in the run game. Like, what is it that, like, I want guys that are consistently getting the damn job done without negatives. I'd take five 50-50 plays over three positives and two negatives. You look at the integers and whatever, and you're like, well, actually, that's three major positives and only two negatives. No, no, no. That is not the way the NFL works. You have to eliminate the negatives, and consistency is there. You don't have to have home run plays all the time. You don't. You don't. Invader right here, Pauling over Cowing. I would argue Will Pauling's preseason game, which is his first game in the NFL, was worse than any game we've ever seen of Cowing in his career. Preseason, regular season, and now you could say, well, Cowing hasn't played in a year. That is fair. Will Pauling sucked. He was awful. I like Will Pauling. He's been great in training camp. Three catches, three punt returns, three kickoff returns, not one positive play. Not one. Not one broken tackle. Not one anything. Fell by the turf twice before he even made contact. Like, I'm not saying Will Pauling can't be better than Cowing. I'm saying coming off that preseason game, Pauling was god-awful. I would be willing to say maybe the worst performance of any 49ers player that suited up. But doesn't mean he's not better than Cowing. Cowing's a little bit of a phantom. A little bit of a phantom, but he's still taking reps with one and Brock Purdy all the time. Willis greater than Colby. That was not shown on the tape. Willis will be way better than Colby. I am saying Carver Willis, and have said, which I respect Invader football opinion. He's up there, baby. But disagreements are great. And I would be willing to say, I bet more people agree with you that Willis is greater than Colby. Consistently, not even close. Two negative plays for Connor Colby. Man, I counted the plays earlier. Carver Willis, he played 33 plays. I'd probably say 10 negatives, maybe more. Maybe more. Multiple sacks, multiple quarterback hits. They didn't even attribute to him when they should have. Yeah. Right here, Nate, who did that Dwight Clark hat again? Infiltratorshop.com. If you just type in infiltrator, Dwight Clark hat, it will pull up. Right here, Stefan, how does Colby still miss stunts? Hasn't he worked on that? The problem is he overcommits. So whenever a player crosses your face and you're a guard or an interior lineman or really any tackles, you have to do this too. You get your pre-snap count, right? And you count from center out, 0, 1, 2, 3, whatever. It's very, very simple. And so, like, you go into the play at the snap understanding, I've got number 2, I've got number 1, whatever. However you count them. There's two defensive linemen on your side. You usually count 0, 1, 2. So, like, if there's two, it's 0 and 1. Center takes 0, depending on the fan call, because if there's more guys to the left side that are immediate threats, then it's going to be, you know, a blue call, block left for the center, so the center fans left, or a red call, you fan to the right, or a brown call, block right, if there's more guys to the right side, right? So you know who you're supposed to block at the snap of the ball. So let's just say, and this is probably pretty typical, Connor Colby is playing left guard. He's going to block number 1, 0, center's going to take. He's going to take 1. Okay, which is the second guy, but it's 1 in the counting scheme. And so what happens is 1 crosses his face and shoots the inside A-gap. Connor Colby will, he'll overcommit to that guy going through the A-gap. And where he struggles is he doesn't keep his eyes on the outside B-gap. He will over, the guy crosses his face to the A-gap and he'll wash down and he'll, his eyes and hands go with that A-gap pressure player now. But then the defensive tackle from the other side loops around and comes through that B-gap or the outside shade of Connor Colby. He doesn't see it or he sees it late. He doesn't get to redirect. For those of you that are with us for our draft coverage, this is why I talk about sudden redirection for guards. You got to have that. You got to be able to anchor. You got to be able to redirect. Those are the two things that make you a guard over a tackle. You can get in traits and speed and whatever else. Don't care. If you can't anchor and if you can't redirect, you can't play guard. Can't do it.
The redirect is where Connor Colby struggles and misses on these stunts where the guy crosses your face. Okay, cool. Use your hands, wash them down, pass them off to your center. Keep your eyes open because somebody's going to replace. Same thing you do with corners. You're outside and the wide receiver cuts in. Guess what? Get your eyes ready. Somebody's going to replace them in the flats on the other side. Just because somebody commits doesn't mean they're not going to replace that. They're not going to leave that gap open. His head's not on a swivel. Now, what are the two things I said that a guard has to be able to do? You got to anchor or redirect. Carver Willis can't anchor to save his life. So you have these two imperfect guards competing. I do not think either one of which qualify as a starting caliber guard. At its current state, not even close. Niners don't care about the guard position. They really don't. You got a fourth rounder competing with the seventh rounder. Not premium draft choices. This is what you get. This is Chris Forster's entire MO philosophy on offensive line play. Give me guys just right at average, and we can make it work. Again, what are the two easiest positions in the Kyle Shanahan offense? Offensive line and quarterback. That is what it helps the most. That is why you think a seventh rounder and a fourth rounder can just battle it out and make it work. Both guys have major flaws in their game at current. Does that mean Connor Colby will never redirect? No. Does that mean Carver Willis will never anchor? No. But this is also why I think Carver Willis is the long-term center. Because one, you don't have to anchor as much at center. John, why don't you have to anchor as much at center? Because when you get a shade, that one technique on the outside shade of the center, either side, your guard usually helps you on combo blocks. And so you get help. When you are a guard and you have a three technique on you, 50% of the time, outside shade defensive tackle, you are 1v1. You versus him. As a center, you almost always get help to the defensive tackle side. So, all that to say, neither Carver Willis nor Connor Colby are ready or full type guard players. It's just not there. Now, Stefan says, well, how do you work on the consistency? Is it a focus issue? A little bit more for Connor Colby is a focus issue. Carver Willis is a technique issue. No post steps, no anchor steps at all for him in watching tape. You just see him just get pushed right back. You saw it in his tape at Washington. Never really had to anchor. Got to in the NFL. Just not there. I didn't even go to show that comment. I ain't even going to show that comment, Yacek. I love you, man. And yeah, right here, Ben, you only work so much football without football. I'm sure he worked hard, but his problem comes against, yeah, you can't replicate it. Got to have full pads on to work this. Can't do it just in shortened shirts. Got to have full pads on. Only so many full pad practices. They'll get there. They'll get there. Oh, man, I love it. The chat's just going freaking hard. Yeah, yeah. The got to keep your head on a swivel, man. That's right. That's right. You got to be ready to leave everything within 30 seconds, right? Nothing you can't have it. I know that's the other guy in the movie, De Niro, but still, that's what I thought about. Sorry, did I get the movie wrong? What movie is that? Pacino. That's Heat, right? Yeah, it's Heat. I'm pretty sure I'm right. You guys got to tell me if I'm wrong. Now, here's the cool thing about being wrong. If you bet with us at mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ers, you could be wrong and get all of your money back. From $50 to $500, you get a bet back bonus. Your first time you bet, you just got to opt in, and boom, you miss the bet. Guess what? You get it all back. Plus, MyBookie currently has a lock of the season. If the Seattle Seahawks raise the stupid championship banner, which they already talked about on Hard Knocks, they're going to do it the very first game of the year, then guess what? You bet 10 bucks, you get 10 bucks. It is a lock. You cannot miss that. And then if you want to throw in the bet back bonus on something else, you can. But if you bet, and man, we post our bets every single week when the season starts, join us. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on, and if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season-long, you name it, we post those at the49ersrush.com, every single bet we do, and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing. You get a pick with my bookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on my bookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football's finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, we got some differing answers for the head on a swivel guy. Yatsik says Heat. Shane says any given Sunday. Invader is the man, says Little Giants. Definitely not Little Giants. I think it's any given Sunday. Shane has referenced this movie around me many a times. We're going to climb out of hell one inch at a time. I think it's any given Sunday. I could use some confirmation on that. Joel. So why does Brindle still struggle if he gets help? Okay, again, what is Jake Brindle? I'll make sure I say it right. Jake Brindle is an undrafted free agent that took years and years of development to become serviceable. And he is good. Like, he's not a bad, like, he's a below average serviceable center, probably around 20th. The problem with Brindle is he has no functional strength whatsoever. He is very athletic, one of the most athletic centers, very smart. Dude could be an attorney if he wanted to be after going through UCLA and all that stuff. Probably will be an attorney afterwards. So he's really smart, really athletic, no functional strength. He can't push anybody. He cannot move anybody against their will. He is a finesse center, and that is why the run game struggles so much. And so you take these guys. You can coach Connor Colby to redirect. You can coach Carver Willis to anchor better. Neither one of which are where they are. Neither one of which are where they are. So, yeah. And right here, Jake Brindle, somebody we've never overpaid. You're getting what you pay for. I agree completely. I think he's the 18th highest paid center on a per year average, and you're getting that. So if you're going to pay top end money at left tackle, you're going to pay top end money at right tackle, you're going to be cheap elsewhere. They chose to go cheap center. I want Carver Willis to be the guy. I want Carver Willis to be the long-term guy at center. So we'll see what that is. We'll see what that is. Couple other notes. Debo, Matt Barrow said Debo maybe his best practice so far, which is saying a lot. Raj from RSF, Debo Samuel is coming to training camp on another level, doing everything the team asked for. And I've been to training camps where Debo was the best player offensively. You go 3 years ago, Debo was the guy. Him and Juwan Jennings were having the training camp of their lives. Both of them had career years. The way you practice matters. I tell my players this all the time. Like, you know, you always get high schoolers and, you know, whatever. Like, oh, I'll just wait till I get to college, then I'll try. Like, I don't really care about grades. Once I get to college, do you know what the number one most predictor for college GPA is? It's high school GPA. Like, everybody says, oh, well, whenever I get older, I'll start saving, right? Or, man, we talk about practice? Oh, well, whenever I get in the game, then no. That is not the way the world and humans work. There you go, Joel. Practice how you play. The only guy that's a little bit different is probably Darrell Luter. That dude sucks in practice, always has. Plays pretty good in regular season games. Some guys just aren't practice guys, but Connor Colby is what we see in practice and in the games. Carver Willis is now, and it's only been a one-game sample size, is what we see in practice and what we have seen in a game singular. We'll have to see there. We have to see there. Guys, this has been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully y'all enjoyed today's show. I know we got off on some tangents. Oh, man, dude, I got chats over here that I have not got to. We ain't going nowhere. Notorious, what's up, man? Appreciate you. Debo going to be more of a gadget guy this year. I don't see him getting a load of targets. Dude, he's out there with the ones almost every time those wide receivers come out there. Now, will that change with Christian Kirk? Will that change with Deshaun Stribling or Jacob Cowing? I want Debo playing. I just want him playing less as wide receiver. I want him out there at kickoff return every single time. If Jacob Cowing is the punt returner, I'm okay with Cowing being back there for a safe punt return. Debo back there for, you know, your exotic punt return or, you know, big play punt return, which means if a team's punting within the 40, then you want your safe return because it's probably going to be a fair catch. But if they're punting behind the 40, then I want Debo out there because there's going to be a chance for a return. Jacob Cowing, again, feel like I'll go back to this. Dude was an NFL punt returner as a rookie the entire season and never won turnover. That has value to me, a ridiculous amount of value. I was pissed off that Jacob Cowing was. I don't believe in rookie punt returners. I just don't. That's a philosophical thing. Like, I don't want that. But that is huge. I want Debo as a wide back. I want Debo as a gadget guy on offense. I want Debo as a kick returner. I want Debo as a punt returner halftime. That's what I want. Now, obviously, he'll get some catches, but I'd be happy if you told me Debo got 30 catches this year as a wide receiver. More of those catches out of the backfield. I'd like that. I would like that. Right here, Stefan, would you trade for Ronnie Hickman? What would you offer? Ronnie Hickman, undrafted free agent, safety for the Browns. I'm not the biggest Ronnie Hickman guy. But I can't tell you, honestly, that I've gone through his tape. I know last year was his first full year starting. Teams aren't trading starter safeties. The Browns are just so damn weird. And he's young. Browns have so many young guys. I don't know if I want another young safety. You have three young safeties in this room already. I want a vet safety if I'm trading for a safety. I want a vet safety. And I don't want more young guys. Shane, what's up with James? Still out with fractured ribs? Damn. Yeah, that's problematic. James needs to get some reps. Kalon Black needs to get some reps. And now that you have the joint practice literally 2 days from now, it's like, dude, missed all those reps. Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But they need to get out there. They need to get out there. Anyway, yeah, right here, Strawberry. If the way you practice matters, Brock is winning MVP. Greedy Purdy is a thing. The ideas of Brock Purdy just taking what's given to him are a thing of the past, for better or worse. I don't care what your idea of a quarterback is. I'm telling you right now, Brock Purdy is a deep throwing quarterback from here on out. It's just what you're going to get. So if you like it, great. If you don't, just know you're going to be frustrated this year because Brock is going to play greedy. He is throwing the ball deep. He is pressing vertical. He is going for big plays. Whew. Love me some Brock Purdy, baby. And I love you guys. I really appreciate everybody being with us. Again, go sign up to 49ersrush.com. 7-day free trial. What are you waiting for? Go check it out. Until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful.